If you'll turn with me, please, to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9. The last time that I was here at the Children's Day service, I was given a hat with some corks on it. I took the corks out, but I still have the hat, and it's come in very useful in life in Australia. And so we're very thankful to have that hat that continuously reminds us of God's work in Newton Ards. So we'll turn to Matthew chapter 9. That comment had nothing to do with the passage, by the way. So Matthew chapter 9 and the verse 35. Matthew chapter 9 and the verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. And when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbaeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth. These 12 Jesus sent forth. And we'll end there at the beginning of verse 5. We'll seek the Lord's face together, please, in a brief word of prayer. We need the Lord's help as we come around his word. Let us seek his face, please. Our gracious Father, we thank thee for the help of God in this meeting already. And Lord, we commend the time to thee that we spend around thy word. Lord, we stand in great need of thy help. We pray, dear Lord, that thou wilt take the scriptures that are before us, that you will apply them to each one of our hearts. O Lord, we pray that thou wilt give us a vision for souls that are lost in sin. O Lord, we pray that we will have a vision for those in our neighborhood, those in our families without Christ, those in our towns, a vision for the nation, a vision for the world. Give me a vision, Lord, I pray. Oh, grant help, we do ask. Give that help of the Holy Spirit of God. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. If you look with me again, please, at the verse 36. It says there, when Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. That little phrase, moved with compassion, describes for us a great feeling that our Lord had as he looked out upon the multitudes. The words have the idea of a very deep feeling. Sometimes in the New Testament, in our authorized version, the words are translated very literally, bowels of mercies. And the reason for that is the people at that time, they talked about the emotions being in the bowels. Perhaps today we might say, from the bottom of my heart, from the depths of my being. The Lord, as he looked upon these multitudes, he did not and he could not look upon them indifferently. As he looked, he was moved with compassion. And it was this sight then that brought about these deep feelings of compassion. You'll see that in verse 36, when he saw the multitudes. He saw them being God. He saw beyond the face. He saw right to the heart. He saw right into the very intents of those that were in that crowd. He saw as God, but then he also looked as man, and as one who was indeed touched with the feeling of man's infirmities. And as he looked then, he looked as one who is God manifest in flesh. Now the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 16 concerning the Christian, we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. As we think of Christ and his mind here, he had a mind of great compassion. How can we, as God's people, truly say we have the mind of Christ in this way? We must first have the eyes of Christ. If we are to feel as the Lord did, we must then look as the Lord looked. And surely tonight we ought to ask ourselves the question afresh. Do I look at the lost as the Lord looked upon them? As I see the multitudes from day to day, am I indifferent to their need? Or am I moved with compassion on them? And I want us to think then for a few moments on a sight of lost sinners. A sight of lost sinners. I want to see first of all that that sight ought to touch our hearts. That sight of lost sinners ought to touch our hearts. In the verse 36, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And as the Lord saw these people as those that were fainting, as those that were scattered, just like sheep might be scattered that have no shepherd, that sight touched the Lord's heart. He saw them as those that were fainting. That word fainting, it has the idea of being vexed or harassed, driven down. He saw them as scattered like a sheep. And surely that idea of being driven down, of being scattered, it suggests to us a state of great hopelessness. If you turn with me, please, to the book of Ezekiel. The book of Ezekiel and the chapter 34. Ezekiel and the chapter 34. And in Ezekiel, the writer here is brought to speak about men that ought to show spiritual leadership in the nation. Instead of showing consideration for the sheep, they abuse the sheep to look after themselves. Ezekiel 34, verse 2. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The disease have ye not strengthened. Neither have ye healed that which was sick. Neither have ye bound up that which was broken. Now you think of all the work of the shepherd, the duty of feeding the sheep, the duty of protecting the sheep, the duty of caring for the injured sheep, the sick sheep. And here, what Ezekiel is being shown is that just as that is true of the literal physical shepherd, so the one who is given a position of spiritual care, he is to feed the sheep that are before him. He is to care for those that are distressed, for those that go through times of great perplexity. The people in the days of Ezekiel that held that function of ministering the word of God, of caring for the nation spiritually, they were like sheep or shepherds that did not care for the sheep. And if you look at verse 5, it says, of the sheep, they were scattered because there is no shepherd. They were scattered because there is no shepherd. And it is in this light that we have that great prophecy of the coming of Jesus Christ in verse 23. I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them. Even my servant David, he shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And so these people were not true shepherds, but the Lord would raise up one true and great shepherd of his sheep. But turning back to Matthew chapter 9, evidently as the Lord was moved with compassion, as he looked at the people, he could identify very much with those words in Ezekiel. And he could say of the religious leaders in his day, the Pharisees and others, that they were shepherds who did not care for the sheep, but rather they abused them. The sheep then fainted. They were vexed. As I said, that word has the idea of them being harassed, being driven down. And do you remember what the Lord said about those religious leaders in Matthew 23 verse 4? They bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on man's shoulders. And so the Jewish leaders had taken some of God's law and they said, we are going to add to it. We're going to add our own man-made rules. And what was given for the good of the people suddenly became burdensome, hard to be carried. The people were vexed. The people were scattered. Now that being the case, here they were on earth. They were fainting. They were scattered. They were hopeless. If that's how it was for them on earth, how were they going to do on the day of judgment? Doesn't it remind us of those words in Jeremiah 12, if thou hast run with the footmen and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And in the land of peace, wherein thou trustest they weary thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? And what really is being said there is, if you can't cope with the smaller problems of today, how will you do in a day of great wrath and great judgment? And so as we think of those souls in the day of our Lord's ministry, fainting, scattered, in this state of hopelessness, perishing, you think of sheep in a country of wild animals, what danger lay before them? How were they going to do on the day of judgment? And surely that's what the Lord saw as he looked upon them. He saw not only their present condition, miserable as it was, but he saw the horror of their eternal destiny. And men and women, as we get a sight of lost sinners, it ought to touch our hearts as it touched the heart of Jesus Christ. How can we look and not be filled with great concern? And that is certainly a great need in the work of God in Australia. That as we see perishing souls, yes, they have no desire to be told, and yet there is a great need that they would hear. This sight ought to touch our hearts. We want to see, secondly, that this sight of lost sinners ought to drive us to our knees. Because the Lord saw these multitudes and was so moved with compassion, he then said in verse 38, pray ye therefore. As he saw and was moved with compassion, he then said, disciples, pray, pray. You see, this word compassion, moved with compassion, as we find it used in the New Testament, it's never used to merely describe a feeling that the Lord had and he turned away and did not act upon it. Rather, when you read this word compassion, it is always associated with action. If you look over with me, please, in Matthew's Gospel chapter 14. Matthew's Gospel and the chapter 14. Matthew 14 and the verse 14. It says, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion. And so we have these same words, was moved with compassion toward them. But then notice these words, he healed their sick. As he was moved with compassion, He didn't turn away and forgot those feelings, but rather he intervened. In chapter 15 and the verse 32, Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitudes, because they continued with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. And as the Lord had compassion on that hungry multitude, fed them. Again, you see, compassion was associated with action. I'll show you another example in chapter 20. Chapter 20 in the verse 34, and it's in relation here to two blind men that were begging. Verse 34, so Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight. Compassion, it was that touch, that healing. And so we find that when the Lord was moved, action followed. And that is true then in this portion as well. As the Lord was moved with compassion, he said, disciples, pray, pray. And there was one thing in particular that he asked them to pray for, and that was the prayer for laborers. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And isn't it interesting, the particular word that the Lord used to describe those that would be sent? Laborers, workmen. He doesn't merely then say, and pray that there will be men that are raised up with the title of a spiritual farmer, but pray the Lord would send forth laborers. Men that actually do the work. Men that actually engage in the toil. Now there might be then not lazy men who would end up being more shepherds who do not care for the sheep, but rather men who truly do care, that have concern for the sheep, that long to see that ripened harvest brought in. And so as we see lost sinners, we ought to be driven to our knees. As we see multitudes without Christ, this ought to be our prayer. Lord of the harvest, send forth laborers. And as I think of cities in Australia, towns in Australia, multitudes, it ought to be the very prayer of our hearts and the work of God in Australia, that the Lord will indeed send forth laborers. Those that will indeed labor in that needy field. And that, of course, is true here as well. What a need there is of laborers to be raised up. We see the multitudes pray. So the sight of lost sinners ought to touch our hearts. It ought to drive us to our knees. And I want to see then, thirdly and finally, that this sight ought to move our feet. Because in the original, there are no chapter divisions between what we have in our Authorized Version as the different chapters. And so there is a flow from one verse to the next. Verse 38 of chapter 9 flows immediately into chapter 10. Now if you look with me, please, at verse 37, the Lord said unto his disciples, and then chapter 10, verse 1, when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, but he had just been speaking to them. Why did he call them? Well, evidently, the disciples had gone away. And I suggest to you that between then, verse 38 and chapter 10, verse 1, the disciples had been obedient to the word of verse 37. Or verse 38, rather. They had prayed. They had prayed the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers. Notice then, verse 1 of the next chapter. When he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power or authority against unclean spirits. Then verse 5, these 12 Jesus sent forth. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord said to these men, pray that the Lord of the harvest would send forth labor. Then he called them back. And I'm suggesting to you that they did pray what the Lord told them to pray. As the Lord called them back, he said, I send you forth. You go to those fainting, scattered sheep. You go and labour in that great harvest. And isn't it wonderful that the very men then that were praying for labourers, the Lord took them to be the very answer to their own prayers. And perhaps there's someone in the meeting tonight and you've been praying that the Lord will send forth labourers. Perhaps the Lord would touch your heart and the Lord would say, you go, you be the labourer. I send you forth. Go and labour in that harvest field that I would set before you. Oh, that we would look with compassion, that this indeed would touch our hearts, that we would be brought to our knees, but then feet would be taken to our prayers, that we would go and bring the gospel to those that we pray over. It's very easy to pray that someone will be brought the gospel. Maybe we're the one that can bring the gospel to them. Back when I was in Carrickfergus, some very well-meaning godly people, they were praying that a group of girls would come into the meetings in the Lord's Day. They came to the youth meeting but didn't come to any of the services. But no one had ever asked them if they would come. And so they were praying, but they didn't realize, well, we should put feet to our prayers and do the asking. And when other people did do the asking, they did come and they're still there. And we thank the Lord for that. So we must pray. We must go. In the presentation, I mentioned that there were meetings held in Melbourne by R.A. Torrey at the beginning of the last century. Now, those were meetings that were greatly blessed of God. Now, while Torrey was the evangelist on that occasion, the first invitation wasn't actually given to Torrey, but to D.L. Moody to come and to preach in Melbourne in Australia. And circumstances changed, that never took place. But behind that original petition was a man by the name of John McNeill. He was a Scottish preacher who had moved to Australia, and he was a man of great compassion. He heard that in one of the parks in the city that many people would go there to have picnics. And he thought, well, so many go there for the afternoon, but they won't come to God's house. We will go to them. He went and he held meetings there. It said that on one occasion, over 5,000 attended a meeting that he had out in one of those parks. He exhorted other Presbyterian ministers to join with him in that work, and in particular in praying for lost souls. And it was out of that real desire that there was this invitation that a notable evangelist would go and minister in Australia. As I thought of John McNeill, he saw the multitudes. He was not indifferent. And oh, that we would have that same spirit today, that we will see as Christ saw, that we will be indeed men and women of great compassion. Maybe there is one in the meeting and you're still unconverted. And as we speak of the need of showing love to the souls of others, I wonder, have you ever shown any concern for your own soul? What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? How would you be advantaged if you were to gain the greatest success that is known and yet to lose your soul? Oh, may you recognize your great need and see tonight that there is a great provision in the work of our Savior. He was filled with such compassion that he died for the sinner. He stood in the sinner's place. Come then to that lovely Christ. We trust the Lord will take his word tonight and bless it to all of our hearts.